The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My friend Ray Allen's on the other side of the glass in our still relatively new Bustos Media, Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Well, we're coming up on about a year. Actually, it is. Yeah, it's about a year since we became part of the Bustos Media family. Yeah, it was last early November, so I think we're like at that one-year anniversary right here. It is Thursday, November the 7th, 2019. Hope your week has been going well. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We are broadcasting on 1030, Tucson's voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Speaking of anniversaries, Richard Elias with me in studio. Richard, it's hard to believe that we'll chalk up 9 full years with the Buckmaster Radio Project starting in the first week of January of 2020. So we begin our 10th full. It's always weird when you're talking about anniversaries because you mark 9 full years and now we begin the 10th anniversary year will be in 2020. How time flies, my friend.
Well, and I think we've all made great strides in that time, and in part because of your show and the work here in this radio station. You know, it covers a lot of ground in a lot of different ways. A
lot of different opinions, a lot of different voices, you know, and that's good. The wake-up show, completely different opinions in many cases than some of the other programs, but that's what it's about. It's all under the banner of free speech.
I think that's what, well, it's a great blessing to Tucson.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So it's been a great thing. Congratulations to all of you here, but especially to you because it was a big change in your life.
Yeah,
but I think 22 years
on the TV. I'm happy with it. It was the right time for me. I'm glad. First of all, I don't have to worry about the digital TV. Oh my goodness! Oh, that hair is out of place. Or what about that on your face? Or what? Just oh my goodness!
I wish they could make cameras that took like 15 pounds off automatically.
Unfortunately,
you know?
It goes the other way, and the weight goes on. It puts a little weight on you. Richard Elias is with me. Richard is the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Richard, a Democrat representing District Number 5. This is a pretty big week. You guys had a lot on the plate, didn't you?
Yes, and a lot of good work got done, and I think the board worked together in a very good way. And I didn't agree with all the decisions, but I am always happy when the Board of Supervisors works together and puts their best foot forward.
The new board policy that will use general fund to pay for county capital infrastructure projects. That's kind of a sea shift there. That's a big deal.
Well, it is, and quite honestly, it's a return to the past. Mm-hmm. For years, that's the way government funded capital improvements.
What they call pay as you go.
Right. Yeah. Once you have the money, then you go ahead and move forward with it. And so we've got that message loud and clear from our voters. Rejecting the bond proposals that we put forth in the last couple elections. So here's an opportunity then to use some money that we have right now for a critical need that offers equity to all 5 of the districts and the jurisdictions that all our residents live in as well.
Well, actually, this whole pay-as-you-go thing, this was one of the reasons you as chairman, you delayed a vote on the new budget, as I recall, during the summer.
Well, there was certainly a lot of discussion surrounding that budget, and I think the board acted wisely in putting it off for a little bit and then moving forward with the option that had originally been presented to us so that we could take some time to put together a good pay-as-you-go plan and a good plan for doing some other improvements in our community that are desperately needed as capital improvements to our parks and other facilities throughout the county.
And this was a unanimous vote on November the 5th, approving $27 million of the unreserved fund balance from last year's fiscal year on pavement repair and rehabilitation, improvements to county facilities, some parks updates. So this, everybody was on the same page, at least on this one.
Well, I think it's critical if we're going to talk about pay-as-you-go, then it's time we recognize that previously in government, as we did pay-as-you-go, the lower-income communities suffered dramatically. Now we have the time to talk about preservation, to talk about improvements to existing facilities and existing parks. That's where we need to start. And we need to make sure that we understand the needs of the entirety of our community. Because the temptation is, when you're doing capital improvements, is to build new and expand and build new. But I've watched disinvestment in District 5 and the deleterious effects it's had on people's lives there. And so to me, it's critical that we talk about that preservation. And I would, again, I alluded to it a minute ago, but both these votes were unanimous. Mm-hmm. And there was the difficult discussion that surrounded them. And the members of the minority party on the board wanted to spend less. Mm. But they had the wisdom to move forward with what is a very good idea in the amounts that were suggested to us by administration. And I think we're moving in a good direction for us at this juncture.
So this doesn't really cost the taxpayers anything, right? I mean, this is money that was not used previously, right?
That's correct. Okay. That's, I mean, they pay for it all,
sure,
in the end anyways.
I mean, yeah.
But this is not an add-on.
Not an add-on.
Yeah. This is not an add-on. So now we got to talk about how we maintain that and how we're going to find the rest of the money to work on roads and other issues. Because I don't know. There's a narrative out there that says we should only repair roads.
Mm-hmm.
We should only fix arterials. We should only do improvements in neighborhood roads and pavement preservation. Frankly, there's a whole lot of things that we do as government that are all necessary and important to many members of our community. When we lose sight of that and become myopic about one particular issue, I think we're being naive. And so this is a nod to an important issue. Roads have to be fixed. I understand. I get it. But there's a lot of other needs. And I talked about all the neighborhoods in District 5 and the fact that they have needs during our discussion on Tuesday. And those are not make-believe. This is not something that, while we talk about core issues,
core services
that you're supposed to address, I understand. Mm-hmm. I support all of that. But there's a whole lot of other things out there that we need to do and that we acknowledge make our communities healthy.
And that's been a philosophical difference between you and the two minority board members, where they have really gone all in on the roads issue. But you're saying there's a bigger picture here. That's generally what I see, what
Absolutely.
I hear. Right?
We're responsible to our community for public health issues. We're responsible to our community for outside agencies. We're responsible to our community for making sure that we have investment in human services. And all those things that people really need who are having a difficult time. Not everybody's on Easy Street in Pima County.
That's, you know, for sure.
So,
all right. I think we'll take the break here because I want to come back and address some other things, like you had been on board with a support of Proposition 205. We'll hear your reaction to it being soundly defeated. But first of all, I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery. And Supervisor Elias, you know I love bakery goods. A lot of people do. And Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They'll be getting those Kringles. They do them all year round, but they always seem to have a great ring around the holidays. You know, Kris Kringle, Danish Kringle. It just feels like holiday time, and it's starting to feel that way up at Mona's northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Right now they're doing the breakfast and, of course, lunch. I have been known to go to Mona's like on a Sunday morning at maybe 9 to 10 o'clock, and I've decided I'm ready for lunch. So Steve and the team there, no problem. The grill's fired up already for breakfast. So I said, could you do my favorite, Richard, is the hot turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
With the provolone, melted cheese there, a little mustard. Yeah, well, anyway, it's a great meal. So I kind of skip breakfast sometimes and just go right to lunch. And then that means I get dessert, because my new favorite dessert there are their peanut butter cookies. Oh, my goodness, they're so good.
That sounds good.
Anyway, open right now, lunch or breakfast, whatever, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery.com.
Well, maybe you could have a few of those peanut butter cookies when I come for my December visit.
Yeah, for your December visit. Why don't we do that? Maybe a Danish Kringle, too. I know Richard is headed off to the land of enchantment up to Santa Fe, and we've talked about this before, but Richard also loves Silver City, and such a great area over there in the southwest corner of the land of enchantment. And the temperatures all summer have been running 10 to 20 degrees cooler than Tucson. It's been kind of warm here in Tucson in the 80s, but I'm looking at that screen right now, Richard. What's that say at the noon hour?
63 pleasant degrees. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Though? 5,500 foot elevation, same as Denver. You know how that is, mile high elevation. Check it out. 3-hour road trip to Silver City, maybe this weekend. What do you say? Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of things to do and great places to stay. More with Richard Elias right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things, your place, your go-to place for all things green, beautiful plants. But this Zocalo Village that they're doing over there is just really, really turned into a destination in itself. All that great furniture, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. In fact, Jan, one of the fine owners over there, on her way down to Guadalajara right now on a buying trip for more of that great merchandise for Zocalo. And there are five shops at Green Things. They call it Zocalo Village. So now on the 13-acre site, you can get all your plants and some beautiful merchandise, pottery, whatever, from Mexico, Peru, Ecuador. There's some European things there as well. Richard Elias with me in studio. Richard, you've been over there to Green Things. It's by the Brandy Fenton Park, just west of Brandy Fenton. That's a nice area over there along the river.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. There's a beautiful passage in On the Road by Jack Kerouac where he describes that valley.
Really?
And it's fascinating, and it's still there.
Huh.
Very, very interesting. You have to check that out.
Very nice. Richard Elias with us, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And Richard went out before the election and advocated for Proposition 205. And, of course, it was soundly defeated. Were you surprised about the margin? It pretty much like went down, I think it got about 30% of the vote, 205.
Yeah, it was a huge defeat.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the margin. But there was certainly a lot of big shots and big money thrown at it in opposition to it. And a lot of those fancy mailers received at everybody's house. And then also, you know, some strong words from the city attorney that I think influenced people dramatically and scared
back
them.
Back in January.
Yep, it scared them. Mm-hmm. And so the bullies won this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we need to continue working on issues surrounding our immigrant populations, and we need to keep in mind that that's the nature of Tucson's identity. That's what it's been since time immemorial. Native people passed through here of all tribes, of all nations, speaking many languages. They still do. We need to be aware of that. I think most Tucsonans are. But again, I think there was a hard-fought campaign by the supporters. And then some folks who came in at the last minute with big money and threw some big firebombs at the whole thing. So it's difficult at best.
Yeah, and I know you're a big supporter of Rahina. You're very happy Rahina won.
Absolutely. She did a great job. She ran a great campaign. I think she's going to be the best mayor of Tucson that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. And I say that sincerely. And I've been an observer of all of this since I was a little kid and started meeting politicians who came in the door to Old Pueblo Printers, where our family business was.
So you've seen a lot of mayors come and go.
A lot of mayors, a lot of elected officials in all different offices.
Why, did they get their printing down there for their campaigns?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So wow.
It was a good place to learn about all of that.
Yeah.
And I did.
Huh.
But with that set of knowledge in mind, Rahina's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we made a great decision.
We're expecting to have Rahina on the show Friday. On our Friday Focus interview, hopefully she's going to be able to move some things around and be on the program Friday. Nikki Lee will be joining us too. So We've got some new members, Richard Elias, on the council.
Yeah, and I think I look forward to their leadership, too. Nikki did a great job. Lane Santa Cruz is one of my personal heroes. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of her. I'm very proud of Nikki as well. And I think knocking off Michael Hicks, who was a former elected official, shows what a great campaign Nikki put together.
Yeah, because Michael, whether you like him or not, he had name recognition.
Right, right.
That's a lot, as you know, to do with political
Absolutely.
Efforts.
And Lane, likewise, had mm-hmm. very little name.
Very little. Very little.
And yet she came up with more votes than Regina Romero.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of Lane, and I think she's going to be one of the best Ward 1 council members we've seen.
All right, let's go to the live line. Matthew has called us, and he wants to talk about water issues. Matthew, how are you?
Oh, good. In the vein of what you guys were discussing, the election, I was just looking to see if Richard has any hopes for a joint city-county consolidation of issues. Or working together on issues. And the two things I would be concerned about that should affect the county as well is the city's PFAS situation and with the contamination, and which may also be a countywide situation. You never know with Marana's had that situation before. And also, does he have any ideas possibly of Chuck also helping the city come up with a plan to deal with the fact that recyclables are no longer cost-effective since China is no longer accepting recyclables? What are we going to do? Because it's going to hit the city pretty hard. Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you, Matthew. Two parts there, Supervisor Elias, and we're short on time, so go ahead.
Sure, Matt. Thanks for calling. The recyclable stuff, the county has gotten out of the solid waste business completely. So we may not be able to work too closely together with that, but we are very concerned about it. But that's an economic issue that has an environment much larger than Pima County and the city of Tucson. I think what we've done is we are today beginning a new era of cooperation between the city of Tucson and Pima County, and I look forward to that. And some of the players' faces have changed along the way, and I think that's good. And I think Mr. Ortega and Mr. Huckleberry can work well together, and I certainly intend on working well together with our new mayor, Regina Romero, and we always have worked well together since we actually we're colleagues at Pima County working on neighborhood reinvestment and affordable housing issues. So,
you two go back that far? Huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Probably 20 years.
How about this water issue?
Well, the water issue is one that we are all concerned with,
mm-hmm.
and we all share responsibilities with that because the city of Tucson is obviously the provider for people throughout the county, and wastewater is our business, clearly,
sure.
along with a few exceptions. And so Marana needs to come into that conversation as well. But clearly the contamination issues that we face on the south side and out there on DM that has now affected wells all the way out in Marana, we have some serious things to talk about and serious things to consider in regards to public health.
We only have a couple of minutes, but of course this was on the front page of the paper today, and it's certainly important. By a 3-2 vote, you and your colleagues on the board made a decision not to purchase the east side property that had been talked about to serve as kind of a satellite support center for Pima Animal Care Center. After all, as many as 30-40% of the people who use the services of Pima County Animal Care Center live on the far east side. So there is a need on the east side for a satellite. Whether this was the right property or not, I guess maybe it wasn't.
Well, that's exactly it, Bill.
Yeah.
This is an inevitability.
Yeah.
We are going to have to serve people in a different kind of way out in the eastern portion of the county. We can talk about the east side of Tucson, but we should also recognize that Pima County extends all the way to J6.
Mm-hmm.
And we have responsibilities in all that area, just like we do out in Ajo. And I'm very concerned that we help get things back rolling in the right direction in Ajo, and we are headed in that direction. What I would say is that perhaps I have to understand the board's wisdom in voting against it, and I'm fine with that, but this is not a vote in opposition to animal services, and I hope that nobody interprets it that way.
No, it was a vote about this particular property. At least that's the way I interpret it, right?
All five of the supervisors during that discussion did express a support and caring for animal services, and so that's not going to go away, and certainly I'm going to continue to work at it very hard.
All right, so, and that vote was 3-2, but this property might not have been exactly what is needed. But again, as we were saying, sooner or later, there's going to be a need, and there is probably right now, for some kind of a satellite facility for Pima Animal Care Center. And they're doing, the folks out there at PAC, nobody can fault what they're doing. They're doing a terrific job.
They're doing great. They have great employees, and they have great leadership. And I think we've moved into a new era of providing animal services that's much more thoughtful, much more caring, much more humane. And I'm very proud of our employees and our leadership.
All right. Richard Elias, thank you very much. I know you're looking forward to getting away for a few days. Have a great time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Take care. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Be right back.
CBS News Update. Mexican authorities continue to investigate the shooting massacre of 9 members of an American family. In Juarez, CBS's Manuel Bajorquez says some family members had hoped for the involvement of U.S. investigators.
One of the family members here expressed hope that the U.S. would be working with Mexico as far as militarily to try to stop some of these cartels, but the Mexican president seems to be taking a different approach right now.
Mexican officials believe the victims might have been caught between 2 rival drug cartels.
They're focusing right now on an offshoot of the Juarez cartel called La Línea. They believe that they were in some sort of turf war with the Sinaloa cartel, and that the family's SUVs just happened to be crossing the area at a really bad time. They believe that they were mistaken as cartel members. Big SUVs that they were driving, and then they were fired upon.
Funerals for 8 of the victims are being held today. CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our CEO interview series on Buckmaster, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $24.8 billion, with nearly 170 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 50,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on the live line, David Adame, the president and CEO of Chicanos Por La Casa, which is a regional community development corporation with more than 40 years of experience serving communities in the areas of education, economic development, housing, and health and human services. CPLC is the third largest nonprofit in Pima County. David is the chair of the Arizona Housing Commission, a position appointed by the governor. David is also a member, a proud member, of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I'll talk a little bit about Chicanos Por La Casa. You've been around for decades, but your model is something, it's almost like it's a unique nonprofit. What is it that sets your model apart, David?
Well, Chicanos Por La Casa is celebrating 50 years this year. We incorporated in 1969. But the model is around trying to be less dependent on public dollars, trying to be self-sufficient. And that's the way we work with our clients, right? We want them to, whether they're having a struggle and they need some help to overcome that, or they're in a point in their life where they need a hand to take that next step, whether that's starting a business or going to school. And our model is known around the world. Every year we get organizations from across the world come visit us. Recently we've had folks from China, Africa, Europe, and they ask us, you know, how do you put it together? How do you become self-sufficient? How do you last for 50 years? And what we do is we partner with folks and find out how can we work together to serve the community together while at the same time meeting each other's goals. You know, we recently did a partnership with United Healthcare where they were trying to figure out how to lower healthcare costs. So we partnered with them. They lent us. It wasn't a gift. It was a loan. Of $22 million, we bought apartment complexes, rehabbed them near clinics that we cooperated, and the program has been such a success that now they're taking it national. And again, we're not looking for the handout. We're looking for the hand up, and that's the way we work with our clients.
How did it come about, Chicanos Por La Casa? Just briefly, what was the driving force that how this whole thing was created, David?
Well, it started back during the civil rights movement. You know, as you know, there was many movements going on during the 60s, the late 60s. And ours started really focused on, we were connected with Cesar Chavez at the time. We weren't formally incorporated yet. But we always were looking at how do we support the community? What are the injustices or just things that we need focus on? And back in the late 1960s, we organized a walkout of the high school system in Phoenix. And it was part of a national movement that started in Texas and L.A., and then we were third. And it was peaceful, nonviolent, and we're asking for some concessions, including more representation, better programs to help Latino students get more access to preparation to prepare to go to a university versus a vocation, although there's pride in work, and if that's a choice somebody wants to make. That wasn't our argument. Our argument was everything was tailored towards not preparing our community to go to universities and didn't have the support systems in the schools, the development programs. So walked out and walked out for a day, didn't get much attention, walked out for a week, a little bit, but then we walked out for a month, and finally that led us to the negotiation table. And we said, hey, there's something to this peaceful, well-thought-out, strategized protest, and that's what started Chicanos por la Causa in 1969.
So much of what you're doing as president and CEO is economic-driven. What are some of these economic empowerment areas that you're driving at, David?
Well, what we do is we focus in these areas that are tend to be lower income, in desperate need of investment, and we focus in four areas. We do education, we do health care, we do housing, and we do economic development. And one of the things that we're working with Sun Corridor, as our involvement with Sun Corridor, is focusing on the new program called Opportunity Zones. It was a program created under the Trump administration, under the tax reform. Long story short, it's basically a capital gains tax shelter that people can use to shelter capital gains, but you can only invest these in areas that are eligible per the program, and they're low-income areas. And so we're partnering with Sun Corridor and other economic development groups around the state, as we are a U.S.-certified community development financial institution. We can self-certify to be an administrator of these funds, and we're actually doing our own direct deal with the program with some investors in the city of Mesa, Arizona, where we're developing a market-rate apartment complex in downtown Mesa that's going to bring jobs, it's going to bring housing, and be part of an overall strategy. Because Chicanos por la Causa, people will think that, well, you only do affordable housing. No, we are comprehensive. A third of our portfolio is in market rate activity, a third of it in the workforce, if you will, that middle income, and then a third of it is in our mission-driven stuff. So depending on what the needs of that particular community or that target area and working with leadership and policymakers, we come up with a strategy that's economically driven that makes sure that it's good for everybody.
We're speaking with David Adame. David is the president and CEO of Chicanos por la Causa. Chicanos por la Causa did take a stand against this Proposition 205, which was soundly defeated by the voters here in Tucson. Why did Chicanos por la Causa take that stand, David?
Well, you know, we took the stand because as we analyze it, because Chicanos por la Causa, you know, we're a large organization. We're one of the largest nonprofits in the state, and we actually are blessed to have a research and evaluation department. So we consider it a responsibility to be a voice for the community. You know, we never say that we talk for the community, right? We're a voice for them. We listen. We analyze. Because we're a regional national group, you know, we have experiences in other markets that have tried to do different things. And when we looked at this particular Proposition 205, although we felt it was well-intended and support immigrants, and, you know, we have programs for immigration, you know, we had lawsuits against 1070, you know, we actually created a program which included University of Arizona to raise private dollars to support DACA students. We felt that the way the proposition was written was not going to be the intended outcome that I think everybody was looking for. And quite frankly, you know, everybody knows about the main arguments of, you know, potentially general dollars being from the state being taken away from the city to working with the police department, all those things. But I really feel that this would have caused more of a distraction for us to work on a real solution, which is comprehensive immigration reform and having us have more of a dialogue with everybody, right? I just felt that on this one, we weren't listening to each other. We're talking at each other. We need to change the narrative, come up with a proposition that really is trying to get the intended outcome, which was, again, supporting immigrants. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, we serve everybody, and immigration is a very important thing for us. You know, I'm a fourth generation, so I know about immigration and immigrants. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to make sure that, you know, the unintended consequences. You know, I remember when we looked at back when 1070 was happening, we had the boycotts, right? It ended up hurting workers, it ended up hurting other folks that wasn't the intended consequence. And so we just really felt strong on this one, but we thought about it, we analyzed it, and just said, you know, this is something that we need to oppose. And then now that this is done, how do we bring people together, right? We don't need to be criticizing each other, working with, you know, we need to work with each other and come up with better solutions that helps the broader community.
All right, David, before we go, what is next now for your organization, and how can people get involved that are listening to us?
Well, we have made a big commitment to Southern Arizona, you know, from Yuma to Nogales and especially Tucson. You know, we have over 125 staff members in the Tucson greater area. And we have a new local market president. Her name is Lydia Aranda, and you can call her office at 520-882-0018. And we'd be glad to sit down with you. What we tend to do is, when somebody asks me, well, David, how can I help the community? How can I help Chicanos Pueblo Causa? I say, well, let's sit down. Let's have a whiteboard session, if you will, a strategy session, and figure out what are we all trying to do and come up with the best plan that wins for everybody. You know, we're working with the University of Arizona to grow scholarships for more Southern Arizona, especially Tucson, students to go to university. We just created a new immigration office. My team just went with Sun Quarter to New York and looking to, you know, bring more companies to come out or more investment to come into Southern Arizona. So, again, we have a broad strategy. We have many areas that we focus on, and we're very committed to Tucson and Southern Arizona.
David Adame, thank you very much, and I know you're very pleased with your relationship with Sun Corridor. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. For more information about Sun Corridor, visit suncorridorinc.com. The Buckmaster CEO Interview Series on Buckmaster, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show contributor, legal contributor, is next, right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Don Luce is with us, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. They have a beautiful office up on River Road, the Luce Law Group office, Don. It's so nice.
Thank you, Bill.
It really is. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. I'm so delighted and honored to have people like Don Luce on my team. Don's one of two dozen now contributors to this program, and he's been with us pretty much since day one. And day one goes back, the 9-year anniversary, Don, is coming up in January.
I heard that. So we'll
beginning 10 years. Don is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, second printing, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, second printing, and both books doing very well. Don, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you.
It's kind of becoming like a tradition on the your monthly segment here to give us the medical marijuana update. It's not that we're like doing this on purpose. It's just that the medical marijuana news, the hits just keep happening, don't they?
So every couple of weeks, there are changes that occur with regard to the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, which was passed by the voters back in 2010. The most recent change has to do with the way that medical marijuana cards will actually be issued. Beginning December 1st, they will not be issued in physical form. So unlike the way that existing cardholders are used to getting their cards, the new way is going to be basically in an email. And so you'll get an email image. And you can take your phone if you have a device that will allow you to display the image to the dispensary, and the dispensary can verify on the spot, probably with a scanner, I would imagine, whether you're entitled to purchase product, or you can print the image and actually take a piece of paper into the dispensary. But you're no longer going to be getting from the Department of Health Services a physical card to evidence your entitlement to medical marijuana.
Is this a cost-saving thing? Or?
Well, so there were several changes that were made to the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act recently, and this was one of them. Another change that was made is that the ID cards, which cost $150, are now good for 2 years instead of one. So in addition to getting the card by visual image on your phone or your computer, you're also going to save money because now the card's good for twice as long.
Medical marijuana sales, I think it's safe to say, are booming in Arizona, up 41% in 2018.
Right. So, you know, if you want to ask a question that would be very difficult to answer, you would ask, how many ounces of marijuana do you suppose were consumed by Arizonans last year? Well, okay, so the
tons.
So the answer is 122,000 pounds. That's more than 60 tons
Wow.
of marijuana.
Wow.
Now, interestingly, at least I think it's interesting, mm-hmm. most of the marijuana that is purchased is whole marijuana, leaves and flowers. The other forms, the edibles and liquids, the liquid form that you can buy, they're increasing in popularity, but the most popular still remains leaves and flowers. Mm. And remember, we're talking about 60 tons of marijuana, most of it whole marijuana. I didn't want to imagine what kind of space would be necessary to house that much, but it seems to me like it's a lot. And that's over a 40,000-pound increase from 2017, where there were 87,000 pounds of medical marijuana sold. And if you go back 1 year further, 2016, there were only 58,000 pounds. So from 2016 to 2018, a period of only 2 years, the amount of medical marijuana sold in Arizona more than doubled.
What's this mean for Arizona in terms of revenue? Has this been a big deal, do you think, for the state?
Yeah, I mean...
And where's the money? How does that translate?
Okay, so let's say marijuana averages $200 an ounce. We'll, we'll just take that as an arbitrary number. We're talking close to $500 million in revenue that is generated from the sale of medical marijuana. There is an excise tax that applies, and the state uses those funds for good purposes. I'm not exactly sure how those funds are specifically allocated, but it is addressed in the Medical Marijuana Act.
Do you know what the excise tax is? How much of a percent is roughly? What do you think it is?
No, I don't. I'm thinking back to the proposal that's going to be on the next ballot,
right?
And I think the amount of the excise tax with regard to recreational marijuana is somewhere around 16%.
And this is moving forward. This measure, and some expect competing measures. It gets kind of complicated about what actually will be on the ballot in 2020 concerning marijuana, Don Luce.
Exactly. We know that one proposal has been filed, and we know that signatures are being collected to ensure that that proposal is on the ballot. But as you and I have discussed on previous occasions, there is a competing proposal that is being considered. And I think... the governor and the attorney general would like to see the legislature move on this issue.
As a preemption.
Yes, so that the state has more of a say in what the final outcome is. I'm not sure that the proposal, which is going to be on the 2020 ballot, is the best proposal possible under all circumstances. And so we may see the legislature take action. We may not. We don't know, but it's being talked about.
I've only got a minute or so, but I found this very interesting. A state law allows Republican candidates to be listed ahead of Democrats in many Arizona counties. What is that about? That seems so bizarre.
Well, the short answer is that's about a lawsuit that was recently filed in federal court to stop that practice. Okay, so what this is the ballot order statute.
Okay.
The ballot order statute.
Ballot order, okay.
That's right. Now, as your listeners know, there's going to be a hotly contested Senate race upcoming, Mark Kelly versus Martha McSally, okay? McSally is a Republican, Kelly's a Democrat. In counties... in which the Republican governor won in the last election, and that would be 11 of the state's 15, by statute, the Republican candidates in each category are listed first. So the Democrats...
It's so weird.
Well, it is, but we're not the only state to have systems like that.
Yeah.
And lawsuits were also filed in Texas and Georgia, as well as in Arizona, regarding this issue. But in the counties in which the Republicans won the governor vote... again, 11 out of the 15, the Republican candidates are listed first on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Democrats are saying, who are challenging this, is that, look, that's unfair, because everything else being equal, voters are going to pick the first name that they see on the ballot. And if the first name is a Republican, that's who they're going to vote for.
Yeah. Should be alphabetical, I think, but that's who knows. Anyway, Don Luce, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor to our program, and he's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers in Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both in their second printing. Amazon, Don, would be a good place, or among others, probably to go for the books.
Absolutely.
All right, Don, thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bill.
Weekend is coming up. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Attorney Don Luce and Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Have a great day.